Doc ignored their stares. They must have taken Christie first, and outside of this room.
Why do you say that?
Some of her belongings are on this night table, so this was her side of the bed. There's no sign of a struggle here, unlike on the side Ryan had slept on.
They all looked at the dead sec man, lying face down in a pool of his own blood.
Also, while there are several of Ryan's bloody footprints in the hallway leading to the far door, there were none made by Christie's western boots.
But how did they manage to get Christie?
I think the nearby door is the key. I think she must have awakened in the middle of the night, perhaps attuned to some disturbance or danger her prescient ability allowed her to sense was very close at hand. She took her blaster and went to investigate, most likely without waking Ryan. She must have opened the door at the end of the hall to have a look up or down the stairs when she was taken by someone on the other side, most likely the very danger she had ventured out of her room to investigate.
The three friends listened closely to Doc's explanation, none of them able to find fault with his reasoning. Doc continued, obviously intrigued by the peculiar sequence of events and enjoying the process of deduction.
Once the door was open, the sectmen were able to come in and out as they pleased, avoiding detection because you were concentrating on the door at the other end of the hall. They searched each room, working their way down the hallway toward you. They found Ryan first. He was able to chill one of the sectmen, but not all of them, and they managed to subdue him and take him away. Next, they found Mildred and were able to steal her away as well. You're lucky they didn't slit your throat as you slept, John Barrymore.
Oh, I'm going to make them wish they had, Doc. Believe me.
And then they stopped their raid and went back to the farm.
Why?
I think it has to do with the women. I believe that is all they were interested in from the beginning. Ryan just happened to be in the way. And, quite frankly, as before, I am surprised they did not just kill him where he lay.
Wake up, rest.
Yes, in all likelihood.
But why would they want just the women? Oh.
It's my fault. I let everyone down, just like in my dream.
Doc put a hand on the armorer's shoulder.
No, it is not your fault. I keep telling you that you have to put that dream out of your mind. There's another element to this scenario that I have yet to mention.
What's that?
Well, under normal circumstances, a bunch of local sec men would never have accomplished this feat without one or all of us waking up and killing a fair number of them, if not all. So, the question is, what was different this time?
Food.
Exactly, my dear Jack. As you suspected, J.B., the fruit we traded for had to have been contaminated in some way, either naturally by radiation poisoning, or on purpose, by sec men with a plan.
But I keep telling you, Jack and I never ate that stuff, and still we both became unconscious and can't remember how it happened.
Yeah, and I ate it and was fine. Explain that.
I can't answer all your questions, but I can say this. We were set up by influences obviously beyond our control. So don't blame yourself, John Barrymore. You couldn't have helped it.
Red-blasted sick men and their baron are going to have hell to pay.
That's the spirit.
All right, let's move.
As J.B. and the others began to head out in search of their kidnapped companions, the Skydark spawn, once more in the guise of the Mutie, followed them at a discreet distance. The wag was in good condition and carried them comfortably over the weed-covered roads toward Fox Farm. Judging by the smell of lubricating oil coming from the wag's underside, this baron had plenty of jack to spend on the things that were vital to his operation. Ryan had made a mental note of the Sekmen's blasters, and aside from a few well-put-together remades, they all had quality weapons. Sure, the baron had an advantage with an unlimited supply of electricity, but he was obviously trading more than just fruit.
What do you think they did with JB and the others?
I think they're fine. The Sekmen left the building after they got you two, so they all probably got a good night's sleep.
How long do you think it'll be before they come after us, lover?
A couple days, maybe. They'll need to come up with a plan.
So we should just relax and make the best of things for the next little while?
Yes, and try to figure a way...
Ryan's words were cut off by the butt of the Sekman's long blaster, catching him square in the jaw.
No talking until you see the Baron, Cyclops!
The sec man raised his blaster again and moved to strike a second blow, but Ryan, with his hands still bound behind him, managed to get out of the way in time and then put a boot into the man's midsection. He pushed as hard as he could, sending the man back into his seat, where he hit the wooden bench with a thud. He got up again, intending to strike Ryan, when the wag began to slow, then came to a full stop.
Get him ready! Baron Fox is waiting!
At the mention of the Baron's name, the sec man relaxed his stance. Ryan was curious about what the Baron might be like, considering that the mere mention of his name could put fear into one of his sec men's eyes. The wag jerked forward again, and when they were past a heavy steel fence, the gate closed behind the wag, securing them inside the compound. Ryan figured he wouldn't have long to wait before he and the Baron met face to face. After a short drive, the wag pulled into a barn that was full of barrels, bushel baskets, and jars. There were remnants of a couple of wags, but they looked as if they'd been stripped for parts. Off to one corner stood an electrical transformer and rows of what looked like batteries. Other items crowded the end of the barn closer to them, everything from farm tools to barrels of diesel and oil, garden tools and power generators. Everything a farming operation might need to produce food and keep it guarded until it could be traded for other useful items. At the other end of the barn was a collection of 7 mini-wags. These were small two-man vehicles that ran on electricity. Each of the 7 was currently attached to a wall-mounted box that was more than likely the source of electricity that kept the mini-wag's batteries charged. Ryan eased himself off the end of the wag's flatbed onto the dirty, straw-covered floor of the barn.
I wish JB could see all this.
Half a dozen sec men ringed the 3 friends. The rest made their way out of the barn, their mission completed. That surprised Ryan, since most of the sec men he'd known would have hung around to hear some words of compliment from the Baron, but these men obviously weren't interested in that. Just then, a small door opened up at the far end of the barn, and a man, most likely the Baron, entered the building. Another man, unarmed, who remained several steps behind and carried a large black book under his arm, followed the Baron. Baron Fox was dressed in a shiny, multicolored bathrobe and wore an equally shiny pair of black boots. He also smoked a pipe. The man looked pleasant enough, Ryan thought, but if he'd learned anything over the years, it was that looks could be very deceiving, especially where barons were concerned. The Baron looked over the 3 friends as if he were inspecting cattle at an auction.
How many men did you lose, Grundwald?
One of the sec men stepped forward. Ryan figured him to be the sec chief.
Just the one. This one chilled him.
He pointed his blaster at Ryan.
Is that why you brought him here?
No, sir. If we chilled him, the noise might have awakened the rest.
The Baron nodded as if he weren't interested in what else the sec chief had to say about Ryan. His attention was suddenly drawn to Mildred. He walked over to her and examined her more closely. After being pushed around and getting on and off the wag with her hands tied behind her back, her clothes had become disheveled, and her shirt had opened halfway down her chest. The Baron put a hand on her cheek, gauging the texture of her skin, and pulling her lips back to examine her teeth.
Nice. Very nice.
Mildred jerked her head away from the Baron's touch, and the man laughed.
Oh, spirited too, I see. I like that. I like that a lot.
He lingered in front of Mildred for a few moments, putting a hand on her neck and letting his fingers roam down her chest, under her blouse, and over one of her breasts. Mildred didn't move. Instead, she stood by impassively, letting the Baron have his fun. But when he finally looked her in the eye, she bared her teeth.
You better be enjoying that, mister, because you're going to be paying the price for doing it.
The Baron withdrew his hand from her breast, seemingly unsure what to make of the dark-skinned woman.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
But then, just as quickly, the humor was gone from his voice. His eyes narrowed, and he moved in closer to Mildred's face.
I wonder if you'd be just as courageous with a red-hot angle iron shoved up your ass.
Mildred said nothing, wisely deciding not to press her luck with so many armed sec men around. The Baron moved down the line to Ryan, standing in front of the one-eyed man for a long time, while his eyes moved up and down his frame.
So, you chilled one of my sec men.
Ryan said nothing. The Baron turned his head toward the sec chief.
What did he do it with?
bastard big knife. Cut his belly wide open the second we woke him up.
The Baron nodded, obviously impressed. He reached over and flipped up Ryan's eye patch. Instead of being disgusted by the empty socket, the man seemed intrigued by it.